Let's open our Bibles together. Psalm 112. The 112th Psalm. Let's follow the reading of God's Word together once again. In Psalm 112, we'll commence reading at verse number 1. It says, and we'll read from verses 1 to 7 this morning. Praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever, and the righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and his infallible word for his name's sake. Amen. Just let's have a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, bless thy word to our hearts. And we thank thee for thy precious word. We pray that by thy Holy Spirit, that thou wilt, Lord, just open our eyes and open our hearts to receive all that thou would say to us today. We thank thee for a book like thy book. We thank thee for the precious, infallible word of God. And we thank thee it liveth and abideth forever. And I pray it's a living word. And I pray that our God, that thou wilt take it and, Lord, just, Lord, quicken us and, Lord, just speak to us and, Lord, make us the people that you want us to be. Lord, answer prayer this morning, for we pray in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. We've been looking at this man, this blessed man here, that is found in the verse number 1, blessed is the man. And in the blessedness of the man, we notice, first of all, the basis stipulated of the blessing. What kind of a man is he? And when we were studying last Lord's Day, we found that the man was one who, first of all, feared the Lord. And then, secondly, we noticed that the man was one who delighteth greatly in the commandments of the Lord. And that man is blessed indeed. But then, secondly, we notice something about this man. We found not only the basis of the blessing that was stipulated in that he feared the Lord and delighted greatly in the commandments of the Lord, but we looked at the bounty that was shared. And we looked at verse number 2. It says, his seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. And his righteousness endureth forever. And looking at the bounty that was shared here, we were reminded of the fact that the bounty that is shared, it is shared with his seed. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. And of course, that is not mighty in positional terms, but it is mighty spiritually. And God indeed can save our loved ones and can make them mighty in their service of the Lord Jesus. Mighty with spiritual power. But then we noticed it says in verse number 3, wealth and riches shall be in his house. This blessed man, he is a wealthy man. And as we were thinking about that last Lord's Day, we reminded you that in actual fact, that there are some people, as far as their godliness is concerned, it is great. And yet as far as their wealth is concerned, as far as riches are concerned, and wealth, as far as we would determine it, they seem to be poor. And some people say, well, is there a contradiction here? In verse number 3, for it says, wealth and riches shall be in his house. I've been reminded of a little statement that says, if money marked out the godly man, then few would be found. And you know, friends, sometimes whenever we think about wealth and riches in his house, then the only natural thing our minds go to is the pounds and the pence. And yet that's not what it's speaking of. Because what I believe is being suggested here is, His house shall be his wealth and his riches. In other words, his home shall be his wealth and riches. He's wealthy, he's rich because of his home. And you know, the wealth and riches of the home of a Christian is beyond estimation. The Bible tells us that he has his helpmeet. Remember, Adam was in the Garden of Eden, and God said that when he looked at all the animals, there was not a helpmeet for Adam, someone that was able to help him and give him the support that he needed. And so God put Adam to sleep, and he took the rib from Adam's side and performed that first operation, and he builded a woman, and God brought her onto Adam, and she was his helpmeet. And you know, whenever we think about riches in the home, we need to remember, first of all, that a man is rich and a man is wealthy if he has an helpmeet, one who is helping him, one who is his companion, one who is his equal in the home, and it's loving him not only in word, but is loving him in attitude. The book of Proverbs, chapter 18, it tells us these words concerning a man and his wife. In Proverbs 18 and verse number 22, it says there, "Whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and he obtaineth favor of the Lord." Whosoever findeth a wife. Now, there's some that are looking, and they haven't found her yet. But it says, he that findeth his wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. And you know, findeth a good, because a thing there is in italics. So he's certainly finding good. He's finding good when he finds his wife, that helpmeet that God has given him for the journey of life. Now, in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, we'll just mention in passing, in Ephesians chapter 5, it says there in the verse number 25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and he gave himself for it." And so therefore we need to remember that we need to remember just how wealthy and rich we are if we have a happy home. If there is a happy relationship in that home, what an awful tragedy when home is at war. When father and mother at war, the one with the other, and there's not that help being given the one to the other. Wealth and riches, or his home shall be his wealth and riches. But not only is there the wealth and riches in the home concerning the helpmeet, but also the heritage. In Psalm 127, it says in verse number 3, it says, "Lo, children are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." You know, the children in a home are not only a heritage from the Lord, but they are to be a heritage for the Lord. And it is important that every parent realizes that more than anything else in the world, your child needs to be given to the Lord. Do you remember when Hannah desired a child and she asked, and she gave him unto the Lord. She lent him unto the Lord because God had given him unto her. She realized that God was good in giving and bestowing upon her this heritage of the Lord. Every parent in God's house this morning, remember this. Your children are given to you for a little while. They're a heritage from the Lord. And you need to appreciate the fact that God has given you those children. And God says in his precious word, "Train up that child in the way he shall go. And when he's old, he shall not depart from it." You and I have a responsibility to bring up our children before the Lord. You know, friends, the tragedy is this. Is so many think that, the world can bring them up for you. Or there's others, you can just throw them out to others and sure. You haven't a responsibility for your children. Before God, every parent has the responsibility before God to bring up your children. And friend, you've got a heritage. Don't throw your heritage away. Don't cast your children to aside. You know, the tragedy is today people look upon children nearly as an obstacle to their social kind of living. They're a problem to them. My, their children seems to be a problem. Listen, mother, if God has given you a child, never you think that that child's a burden to bring up. That child is a heritage from the Lord. God has given you something very, very precious. And you should treat and acknowledge the preciousness of your child, because you have a tremendous influence upon your children. Verse 2, it says, his seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. And I believe that speaks of influence. I believe there's an influence. And parents, let me say this to you. You are living a life in the home, and you will have an influence upon your children. Your children will be influenced what they see in the home. Do they see love? Do they see care? Do they see what God, that the Lord is the very center of your home? Do they see that you are a Christian, that you really love the Lord, that you want to serve the Lord with all your heart? The generation of the upright shall be blessed. If they follow your footsteps, tell me, where are you leading them to? What kind of a home are you showing them is the Christian home? If you profess to be saved, if you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have set up a Christian home before the Lord, tell me, what do your children see? What kind of a home do they see? And is that the kind of a home that you would want for them? Because remember, they're influenced by what they see. Yes, I believe that not only is there influence here, I believe there's increase here. Because this blessed man, it says, wealth and riches shall be in his house. I believe there's, whilst I say that wealth or children and wealth and riches is in his home, and his home is his wealth and riches, I believe there's also something else here. Because I believe before God that God's man is not a lazy person. I believe that he's got a responsibility. I believe that a father in a home has got a responsibility. If he is humanly possible able to work, then he should. I believe that hard work has always been a mark of a child of God, a true Christian. The Christian work ethic. Sad to say, it's been cast aside today. If you turn to the book of Proverbs for a moment. In Proverbs chapter 10. And in Proverbs chapter 10, in the verse number 4, it says this. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. But the hand of the diligent. The hand of the diligent maketh rich. You need diligence will bring success. Turn to chapter 12, verse 24 in Proverbs. It says, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Chapter 13, look at verse 4. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. And there in that diligence, my friend, there's a steadiness, there's an industriousness, there's a persevering, there's a work with care, there's a constant effort here. And I believe that many people want riches in their home, but they don't want to work for it. They believe a society ought to give it to them. Now, I do know this, and let me make this clear to you, friend. I know there are people who can't work. And we as God's people should not look down at somebody who can't. Because I believe that one of the marks of a child of God is compassion and care. And I also know there are people not only who can't work, I also know that in this day of recession, there are people who have lost work. And they've lost their jobs. And I know there are many people are fighting for to get a job and are going far beyond what the eye of man sees. They're endeavoring to get it. But I do believe before God that God's child is an industrious person. They're highly motivated. Everything that he does as a child of God has got to be done to its best. You know, we have got an attitude problem in this world today, and it's this. Anything goes. Sure, it's not mine. Sure, it really doesn't matter whether I do it right or not. Can I ask you a question? In your daily work, friend, is that the kind of an attitude that you've got when you're working for your employer? Now, you profess to be a child of God. You have got a testimony. Let me ask you, what kind of a testimony do you have? Does your employer see in the work that you do that you're different? Because the Word of God tells me that the highest motivation for any person as a child of God is this: whether we eat or drink, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 31, do it to the glory of God. And that means our daily employment. That means where you're working day after day. That means at the factory, in the factory. That means on the farm. That means in the firm. Whatever we do, we ought to do to the glory of God. I believe there's also something else here in it, because I believe there's not only a highly motivation, there's an honesty. And sad to say, that's another mark of our society, because we're to be honest in our dealings, and that's missing today. In other words, we ought to conduct ourselves with honesty. And you say, but if I do that with honesty, then I lose by it. Friend, let me tell you, you never lose by being honest. Yes, you might have to pay more tax, but you never lose by being honest. Because if you're deceitful in some little thing, then you're deceitful in everything. We need to be careful. Because when we take the name of the Lord Jesus, friend, when you walk onto that factory floor, you're representing the Savior. That's who you're representing, because you have taken his name. When you work in that firm behind that desk, you have taken the name of the Lord Jesus, friend. Let me tell you, the world's reading your life. And there's an influence. Now, there's an increase. Now, notice verse number 3. It says this: wealth and riches shall be in his house. And then it says this: his righteousness. You see? Same verse. His righteousness endureth forever. You see, when God is given first place in our lives, then our lives will tell for Christ. There will be a righteousness. Now, whilst it talks here about his righteousness, those of us who are saved today know this, that we have no righteousness of ourselves. His righteousness is in reality God's righteousness, which has been imputed or given to us, reckoned to us. Because unless you have received the righteousness of Christ, you are a stranger to God. You are still in your sin. You are still lost. You are still without hope. Now, you may go about to establish your own righteousness, but friend, let me tell you, you're not right in the sight of God. You need to trust Christ. Turn to Romans chapter 10, verse number 1. Brethren, my heart's desire to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And without apology, friend, I say this morning: every person gathered in the house of God today that knows not the Lord Jesus Christ, as I stand as the preacher in this pulpit, my heart's desire and prayer for you is this: that you might be saved. My heart's desire and prayer is not that you might be rich. My heart's prayer and desire is not that you might be popular, but it is that you might be saved. Because, friend, if you're not saved, then you're lost. And if you're lost in your sin, you'll die in your sin. And you'll go to hell in your sin. I was at the funeral of Lee Evans this week. There's a little fire in the chimney at his house. His son lives next door. His son happened to see, and he ran over to his father and directly told him about it. And they got the ladder out, and they got some water to douse the fire. And so he filled the bucket water. The son sent him back to get the second bucket of water. And then he wondered why his daddy didn't come. And then he heard the water not running into the bucket, but running over the bucket. And he ran as quick to get his dad. And there his dad had just slumped down the car that was beside him and was lying on the floor or on the ground. Betty's a nurse. And so therefore Betty, he called his mum. And Betty came and she did all she could. But friend, leave us in God's eternity. Friend, that could be any one of us. It was Lee Evans last week. Listen, it could be you today. Let me ask you a question, friend. Have you really thought, where would you be? Have you really got a grip of this, dear unsaved person? If this was the last day, and it could be, and it can be, and maybe will be, but you have come to God's house this morning and you expect that nothing will happen to you today. You expect you'll eat your dinner. You expect you'll sit with a family. You expect to sit in your home. And maybe you'll come back again tonight. You expect to go to work tomorrow. But friend, God in a moment can change all that. Because Lee's no longer driving the tractor in his yard this morning. Lee Evans is in God's eternity. That's why there's an urgency today. Oh, that men and women were wise. That they considered their daughter. And my prayer to God is that you might be saved. Look at verse 2 of Romans chapter 10. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. That word zeal is, they've got a devotion. And there are many people in Ulster today, and there are many people who go to church, and they have a devotion to a God of their mind and imagination and their religion. But look at verse 3. But they being ignorant, they being ignorant of God's righteousness, they go about to establish or to secure their own righteousness, having not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And dear unsaved person, that's you. You have not submitted yourself to the righteous claims of God upon your life. You have been sitting in God's house and you feel that somehow that you are good enough, maybe. That you don't need to be saved, that that's all right for others. You don't need to be born again. I've never done the things that others have done. I haven't committed murder. I haven't shed innocent blood. I haven't bowed down as an idolater. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not a thief. And just think some of those knots. You are worshiping another God. Because you are bowing down before the God of self rather than giving your heart to the Savior. And friend, I'll tell you this. You're stealing the time that God has given you. And you're taking it to yourself. You're wasting that time that God has given you to get right with Him. And you're quite comfortable in that. Do you know why? Because you're ignorant of God's righteousness. You can't see the claims of God upon your life. This holy God. and you're going about to establish your own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. But you see, the blessed man, friend, let me tell you this, he has submitted. And the righteousness that he has, thank God, it is a righteousness which endureth forever, because he rests his soul upon the righteousness of Christ. Verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Yes, it's the righteousness of Christ you need. You need to come as a sinner to Jesus and trust in him. Man's righteousness is based on the law. And God's righteousness is brought by the Lord. The righteousness of man is rooted in the works of the flesh. But God's righteousness is rooted in the work of faith. Man's righteousness begins in a man's hands. But God's righteousness is brought to a man's heart. This blessed man, his righteousness endureth forever. Now, friend, listen. As we come to a close this morning, when you live a God-fearing life, and you live a God-centered life, notice what God promises. Look at verse 4. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. Unto the righteous, unto the upright, there ariseth light in the darkness. You know, God's promise that he'll lighten up the way before us. We live in a dark world. We live in a sinful world, an evil world. But you know what God promises here is not light in the world. But this is a spiritual light for the journey. Illumination. God will enlighten your understanding. And you see who God is. You see what God is doing. You see what God desires for your life. There ariseth light in the darkness. You see, there are many things in this world I can't understand. But I have to trust the Lord. But God, day by day, thank God he is enlightening my mind. God is opening my eyes. God is teaching me through his precious word. Because if you're a God-fearing man and you're delighting in God's commandments, then you'll see things that others can't see. Why? Turn to Psalm 119. This is why you'll see it. Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and is a light unto my path. God will lighten up the path before you. God, in other words, has promised to show you his way. There ariseth light in the darkness. God will reveal his will. If there's a young person in this meeting this morning and you're asking God, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do with my life? God will show you. There will arise light in the darkness. You're in the darkness to what you should do with your life, then trust the Lord to lighten up the pathway. Go to Psalm 119, verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. And I'll say this before God, friend. If you're serious about God and you're putting God first in your life, friend, and you're seeking God's will for your life and you're seeking God's way for your life, I want to tell you, God will not disappoint you. God will not disappoint his children. Because God will reveal his will. He'll give light. He'll reveal it. And you know, the more you go to the entrance of thy word giveth light, and the more that you read God's word, and the more that you meditate upon God's word, and the more you get into the deep things of God's word, listen, the more God will reveal to your heart. Because God has promised light for the journey. Maybe you're in a dark place in your life. Maybe there's someone here this morning. And friend, you're in a dark part of the journey because whether it's employment or whether it's for other things, and things seem so dark. And you can't see the way ahead. I remember a time in my life, friend, and God wrote that verse on my heart. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. And I was crying to God that God would show me the way. Please, God, show me the way. And God gave me that verse. Do you know what he did, friend? He not only gave me the verse, but thank God he fulfilled it. He gave light in the darkness. Will you trust the Lord to do that today? Now, I don't know what's going on in your heart this morning, but maybe there's something going on and a battle going on, and you need enlightenment. God will give it. God won't disappoint you. God won't let you down. God hasn't given this, my friend, to mock you. It says, unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. Here's a promise from God. Here's something that's sure. And of course, in addition to God's word being the light, thank God Jesus himself's the light. He says, I'm the light of the world. When I was finishing up in the young couples meeting on our fellowship time on Friday night, I just quoted a verse. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Notice the words. The Lord is my light. So you're looking for light? The Lord. The Lord. God has given you his word. And God has given you a promise of his presence. And God has given you an assurance that unto the upright, if you're walking with God, friend, if you're walking the light of God's word and being faithful to him, unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. God will give you the light you need to walk with God. One last verse, and no time's away. You remember that verse in 1 John chapter 1? If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we walk in the light. Is that what you're doing? Because in him is no darkness at all. And thank God the light dispels the darkness. And whatever it is, friend, that's dark in your life today, I'm telling you, bring it to the Lord. Bring it to him. Because unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. I can see someone standing in a very lonely place, and they're walking in a place that they're a stranger in. They cannot see the way, and it's so dark. There is not a glimmer of light around them, and they don't know where to go. And there's no one to ask. They're totally lost. And they're about to give up hope. And then in the distance, they see a light. You know what they do, friend? They head straight for the light. And something happens the moment they see that little glimmer of light. Hope arises in their heart. Let me tell you, we live in a dark place. But Jesus is the light of the world. Look to him. Trust him. And say, Lord, please, show me the way.